please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Then we're also going to jump ahead to Hebrews chapter 10 and read two verses from Hebrews 10 as well. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And this morning I want to talk with you a little bit about Christian fellowship and just the importance of Christians getting together on a regular basis for intentional prayer, Bible study, and mutual support. And we're going to look at three different commands for Christian fellowship that we find in the book of Hebrews. There's the command to encourage one another daily, the command to motivate one another to love and good works, and the command to meet together regularly. You'll find all three in the insert in your bulletin if you want to follow along or take notes there as well. But right now, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, and then over to chapter 10. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then flipping forward to chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, speak to us now through this word that you've given us for our benefit and for our encouragement. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. As we begin this morning, I want to take a moment first to review with you our church purpose statement. If you'll take out that sermon outline, if you'll look in the back of it, you'll see our church purpose statement there. And you'll see that the purpose of Plantation Community Church is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ by calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ, receiving them into fellowship and service, involving them in personal and group worship, sharing God's love in Broward County and beyond, teaching and equipping people for ministry. And our purpose statement, it's really a constant reminder to us of what we're called to do as a church. And the first part of the statement reminds us that our overall purpose is to do what? To make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other six statements, which are an acrostic, they spell out the word Christ, they flesh out how do we do that? How do we go about making disciples of Christ? And today, this morning, we're especially going to focus on the third part of the statement, receiving people into fellowship and service. Because as Christians, we were never meant to experience the Christian life on our own, but rather in community with each other. In fact, there are many aspects of the Christian life which you cannot put into practice on your own. For example, there are more than 50 of what we call the one another commands in the Bible. Love one another. Accept one another. Be at peace with one another. Pray for one another. And the one thing that all those commands have in common is that you cannot put them into practice without one another, right? So we need each other in the body of Christ. And Christian fellowship is an important theme throughout the Scriptures. Well, this morning we're going to look at three of these one another commands, all three found in the book of Hebrews. Just a little bit of background, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers who were in danger of turning their backs on their Christian faith and going back to their old ways in which they used to live and believe before they came to Christ. And so I find it very significant that one of the themes we find in the book of Hebrews is this theme of Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is one of the primary resources that God has given you as a Christian to help you to stand strong in your faith. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity, and we are all called into Christian fellowship with each other. So let's take a look now at these three commands from the book of Hebrews and see what they can teach us about the importance of Christian fellowship. The first command is to encourage one another daily. Look with me at Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And the concern here is that even believers in Jesus Christ, as hard as it may seem, even believers in Jesus Christ can fall into sin. And they can fall into sin that at least temporarily turns them away from God. And notice that it is a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns a person away from the Lord. And so when you stop believing God's promises, and when you begin choosing sin over obedience, you are on dangerous ground. Now, I do not believe that you can ever lose your salvation once you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, but you can turn away from following Christ for a season. And that can have very bitter consequences for you and your life as a Christian. So if a sinful, unbelieving heart is what can turn us away from God, what is the antidote to a sinful, unbelieving heart? And the next verse, verse 13, responds with one of the Bible's one another commands. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And here we learn that sin is deceitful. Sin will never present itself to you as something that's going to pull you away from God and pull you away from the body of Christ. But sin will usually present itself to you as what we call a harmless temptation. And that's the way we perceive it, don't we? We tell ourselves it's just a little sin. It's not going to hurt anybody. No one will ever know. But what we don't realize is that each time that we choose sin over obedience, what are we doing? We are hardening our heart towards God and His ways. And over time, that hardened heart will make more drastic choices with more drastic consequences. And suddenly, although it's not suddenly, it's built up over time, suddenly we find ourselves in spiritual ruin. The Christian life is not a sprint in the park. It is a long-distance marathon, and we need each other in the body of Christ if we are going to go the distance. And just like a pack of wolves will try to pick off the stragglers in the back of the herd, in the same way Satan will go after the Christian believer who isolates himself or herself from the body of Christ. And so we are called in this verse, in this command, to encourage one another daily, so that none of us will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And how do you do that? Well, in order to do that, you must be in Christian fellowship with other believers. Now, I want you to notice that these words are not primarily written to the pastors or teachers or to the church leaders, but they are written to the entire body of Christ. You see how it opens up in verse 12? It says, "See to it, brothers, sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart." This command is written to all of us as Christian believers, not just those in Christian leadership. And so we all have a responsibility to be doing these things and to encourage each other in Christ, to encourage each other in the faith, and to do it daily if we can. In other words, Sunday morning worship is important, but it is not enough. And we need to reach beyond Sunday morning and establish good Christian friendships where we can encourage each other throughout the week. And then as we encourage others and they encourage us, we will keep each other strong and we will help to guard each other from the deceitfulness of sin. So that's our first command of Christian fellowship this morning from the book of Hebrews. Encourage one another daily. It has to be more than just Sunday morning. The second command is this: motivate one another to love and good works. Look at Hebrews 10 now, verse 24. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And there are actually two commands tucked away in this verse. There's the command to consider, and then there's the command to spur one another on. That word that is translated consider there is a word that means to give very careful consideration to some matter, to think about it very carefully, to consider it closely. And so when we come across this word in Scripture, We're supposed to stop, we're supposed to pause, and we're supposed to think very carefully about whatever comes next. And what is it that comes next? It's that second command, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And this is another one of those one another commands. In other words, this is a command that you cannot keep by yourself, but only in community with other believers. Now, the word that's translated, spur each other on there in the NIV, it's translated various ways when you look at different translations. And the NASB, it's translated to stimulate one another to good works and to stir up one another in the ESV, to motivate one another in the New Living Translation, to provoke one another in the King James Version. Some of you say, well, yeah, people provoke me all the time. It gets me mad. Well, it doesn't mean that way, but to provoke one another to love and good works. And actually, it is a word, this word that's translated all these different ways. It's a word that is usually used in negative contexts. It's usually a word that really does mean you kind of poke somebody in the side, you're provoking them, and someone gets upset or irritated or exasperated with you. The main meaning here is that we're supposed to provoke a strong reaction in somebody. And that's what Hebrews 10:24 is getting here. When we provoke one another or spur one another on towards love and good deeds, we are trying to provoke a very strong reaction. We are trying to motivate one another towards love and good works. You see, too often we can become lazy or complacent in our Christian lives, and we can expect that everybody else will take care of the work of the kingdom. In fact, a common statistic, you hear it all the time, is that in many churches, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Well, that means that a lot of people are not doing much beyond showing up for worship on Sunday mornings. Now, once again, Sunday morning worship is important. It is essential. It is really the starting ground for being involved in the church. But if Sunday morning worship is the sum total of our commitment to Christ and the church, then something is missing. And that something is usually fellowship and service. Remember the third part of our church purpose statement this morning? Receiving people into fellowship and service. And what Hebrews 10:24 does, what this verse does, and I love this, is it tells us that these two elements of Christian discipleship, fellowship and service, is they're interconnected. That it is when we experience true Christian fellowship with each other that we now have the opportunity to motivate one another to love and good works. See, these things don't happen in isolation from other believers, but only when we engage in an intentional, purposeful Christian fellowship. Now, your whole purpose as a Christian is to glorify God. To glorify God by engaging in love and good works. God saved you so that you could be a blessing to others, not simply to receive a blessing for yourself. And so we have the second command of Christian fellowship in the book of Hebrews, to motivate one another to love and good works, to Christian fellowship and service. So we should encourage one another daily. We should motivate one another to love and good works. And then thirdly, we should meet together regularly. Look at verse 25 now, Hebrews 10. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so this verse encourages us as believers not to abandon meeting with other believers, but to keep meeting together. I truly believe one of the most important habits you will ever develop in life is the holy habit of meeting regularly with other Christians for worship and fellowship. What this verse does is this verse warns us about the opposite habit that some believers can fall into, the habit of not meeting together with other Christians for worship and fellowship. And it is an easy habit for us to fall into. Not so easy for the pastor to fall into. I have to be here every week, right? But it's an easy habit for us to fall into. You know, you miss a Sunday here, you miss a Sunday there, and then all of a sudden different things start popping up that seem to be more important. I hear the reasons or the excuses all the time. Well, the weekends are the only chance we have to get away as a family. Pastor, it's a perfect beach day. But you don't understand, we have sports on Sunday morning. Now, we don't want to be legalistic about this. We don't want to be legalistic and say it's wrong to ever miss a Sunday morning at church. But you know what? Most of us don't have a problem with legalism. For many of us, the problem is in the opposite direction. We've developed the bad habit of not going to church rather than the good habit of going to church regularly. I've seen so many families over the years that prioritized other things on Sunday mornings over church. And then as their kids grew older and went off to college and went off on their own, they wondered, I wonder why my kids don't go to church. What's up with that? Well, the reason is simple. Because Sunday by Sunday, week by week, each of us is developing a habit of either going or not going to church. And Hebrews 10:25 here warns us against developing the habit of not going. Now, so far, we've been using this verse to encourage meeting together for worship on Sunday mornings. And that is an appropriate application of this verse. That is part of what it's talking about. We are not to give up meeting together as a church on a weekly basis. But I believe this verse also speaks about meeting together regularly for Christian fellowship. Because once again, we have, what do we have in here? We have another one of these one another commands. Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. And we can only do that, all of us doing that, if we are involved in Christian fellowship settings as well as worship. Sunday morning worship is a wonderful time to come together, to worship God, but the focus is really more on worship than fellowship. How do we sit? We all sit facing forward, right? We sing songs of praise and worship to God. We hear the preaching of God's word. We have some limited time for fellowship before and after the service and a real little bit during greeting time. But the whole focus of Sunday morning worship is more vertical, isn't it? It's more focused on God and worshiping Him together as the body of Christ than horizontal. So Sunday morning worship, we gather together to worship God. But if we're going to fulfill these one another commands, then we must also meet together for Christian fellowship. And that means smaller group settings, more interpersonal interactions, sitting facing each other instead of just facing forward. Which is why one of our purposes as a church is to receive people into fellowship and service. We want you to experience the joy and privilege of growing in Christ by meeting with other believers on a regular basis. And we don't want you to do that sometime off in the future. It's like, yeah, someday I'll get that together. We want you to do that now. Because I want you to see the urgency here in verse 25. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That day refers to the time of Christ's return. In other words, your time for Christian fellowship and service here on earth comes with an expiration date. And either you will expire, or this world will expire, but either way, you only have a limited time to do God's work here on earth. And the way you live here on earth and the way you live out God's commands, including these one another commands, has eternal repercussions. And so it is essential that we consider carefully these commands for Christian fellowship that God gives us here in the book of Hebrews. We've looked at three commands this morning. Encourage one another daily. Motivate one another to love and good works. Meet together regularly. And as a church, we believe that the best way, and really the only way, to fulfill these actual commands is to get involved in some type of small group or Bible study outside of Sunday morning worship. Whether it's a Sunday school class that meets on Sunday mornings, or a Bible study that meets at the church during the week, or a small group that meets in somebody's home, it is essential that you get involved in some type of small group Christian fellowship outside of Sunday morning worship. Now, we offer a number of small groups and Bible studies that meet on Sunday mornings and also throughout the week. You'll find them listed in your bulletin each week. We put them right in there for you. We have men's groups, we have women's groups, we have mixed groups, we have kids' groups, we have youth groups, we have music groups, we have prayer groups, we have Bible studies. And we would like to open up even more groups and more opportunities so that more of us can get involved. And we plan on offering training, some new training in the coming months for people who would like to either lead a small group or perhaps host a small group. You see, our goal is simple. It's that everyone who comes to Plantation Community Church would be involved in some type of small group or Bible study beyond Sunday morning worship. Now, Sunday school is probably the easiest place to get started because you're already here on a Sunday morning. If you come to the 9:30 service, all you have to do is walk across that courtyard, grab yourself some coffee and donuts, and then stay for a Sunday school class. And I would encourage you to do that if you haven't been doing that. It's one of the ways you can begin to fulfill these commands, and you'll get to know other believers in the church, and you'll begin to start fulfilling these one another commands. If you normally go to 11 o'clock service, then, well, we have Sunday school at 9:30, so you can come a little bit earlier and go to a Sunday school class, and then go get your coffee and donut, and then come over here for worship. But you'll be fulfilling both worship and fellowship that way. But that's my challenge to you this morning. The book of Hebrews tells you to encourage one another daily, to motivate one another to love and good works, to meet together regularly. And I believe the best way to do that is to get involved in a small group or Bible study outside of Sunday morning. Will you pray about that? Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we don't need to do this Christian life on our own. Lord, I know that each person here who's involved in a small group or Bible study can testify as to how important that group has been to their spiritual growth and care and their ability to reach out and care for others. And so, Lord, we have wonderful opportunities ahead of us. We have wonderful groups already in place. And, Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we open up even more groups. And, Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to find our place here in the body of Christ where we can fulfill these one another commands to your glory and for the good of each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.